I would like to introduce my wife and family, my wife Patty. We've been married for just short of 21 years. The 18th will be 21 years. She's put up with me. And my oldest daughter, Andrea, as I mentioned, she just got back from Guatemala. She's thrilled to be back. I don't know, she really enjoyed it there. And then Amber is our middle, and Megan is our youngest. So they are such a huge blessing to our family. With all that said, take your Bibles with me, if you would, and turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 this morning, and we'll be looking at verses 11 through 14. The title of my message is Jesus the Good Shepherd. Jesus the Good Shepherd. Let's read that text. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Your word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray that your word this morning would come to life. I pray that, Lord, that you would just penetrate our hearts with the things that we read this morning. I pray that you would just help us to put aside the things that we're thinking about from yesterday or this past week or the things to come. That you would just help us to really think about your word and what it says, and that you are the good shepherd. Go with us today, I pray, in your name, amen. Chapter 10 of John, the Gospel of John, is very, such an in-depth, there's so many great truths in that passage. And if you start to study that passage, you will see that very thing, that there are so many great truths in that. So I kind of condensed, instead of going through the whole chapter, because there's so many different passages there's so many different sermons that I could speak on. I promise you this morning, I'm only going to bring one message, but you could probably get six or seven out of that passage alone. So we're going to look at those three verses, 11 through 14, this morning. Jesus the Good Shepherd, and you think about the shepherds in the Bible. In many places, you remember hearing about different ones who were shepherds. Think with me, Moses. Moses was a shepherd. He was a shepherd for 40 years, and he went on to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian slavery. Moses was a shepherd. David, think of David, little shepherd boy, David, tending his father's flock. But yet, Jesus, God used him as a shepherd to do some great things, to kill the giant Goliath. He used him to lead the nation of Israel to become become the most successful king. God used a man named Amos to prophesy to the nation of Israel. But let's not forget about the shepherds that were tending their flock by night, when they saw the star of Bethlehem and proclaimed the birth of Jesus, who was born in a manger. Shepherds. We see all through Scripture where different shepherds are used and how God used shepherds. Shepherding was a very lowly position. Shepherding was not something that people looked up to. They didn't look up to a shepherd and say, look at the great things that this man is doing. Shepherding was a very lowly position. But shepherding was not an easy job. Shepherding was a very difficult job. It required very long hours, sun up to sun down. It was so important that these shepherds would lead their flock to the place of grazing, and that they would take them to that area of water to allow them to drink. It wasn't what I think of shepherding. I think of just let the flock loose and I'll just wait for them to do what they do best, eat. It wasn't that. It was such an important role to move them to the lowland, to where it's green and nice and tender grass. It wasn't an easy job. It required hard work from sun up to sundown. It was done during the hottest of the day, in the coldness of the night. Shepherds were out there all alone. They had just their sheep. It was a lonely time for a shepherd to be out in the field watching over the sheep. But it was also a very dangerous occupation. You heard the story, I'm sure, of David and from 1 Samuel 17, I believe it is, where he talks about how he killed a lion and a bear with his hands. So they came up against animals that were after their flock. It was a dangerous occupation. But I want us to see that these men were a shepherd. They were not the good shepherd. This morning I want us to see three points about the good shepherd. And I'm going to emphasize the because I believe that position needs to be set apart from just a shepherd, because it's Jesus is the good shepherd this morning. Let's look at the first point this morning. The good shepherd is proven by his sacrifice. Look at verse 11 with me. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jesus sacrificed so much for his sheep. Who is he talking about? He's talking about us, right? We are his sheep. He sacrificed so much for his sheep. Remember the agony that he was facing in Gethsemane, hours before his trial. He was following the Lord's command. He was being obedient to his Father. And he was going to be going to the cross. He dreaded what was going to be taking place. He dreaded what he was going to be facing. Luke chapter 22, verse 42 says, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Luke chapter 22, 44, it says, And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus was in agony. He was experiencing a very real medical condition called hematidrosis. It is when your blood vessels begin to contain sweat and they become so expanded that they begin to burst. What is it caused by? Excruciating pain and agony. He was sweating great drops of blood. He wasn't looking forward to what was to come. But he humbled himself and became a man. Listen to this verse, these verses, Philippians 2, verse 5 through 8. Says, Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. One writer says it this way. He said Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to give up his position and his reputation as God to come in the form of a servant and to be clothed with flesh as a man just like you and me. He made himself just like part of his creation. He gave up being with God so that we could be with God forever. There is no more horrible death known to mankind than the crucifixion. Movies have done their very best to portray what Jesus went through on that cross. But I don't think we could ever get an idea on what he went through on the cross in leading up to that. He was mocked. He was spat on. His beard was plucked from his face. He was whipped with cat o' nine tails, which is a whip that has little hooks on it, and he was whipped on the back, and when that whip was pulled away, that flesh would just come off his body. And he was beaten. He was laughed at. He had a crown of thorns that was put on his head and drove into his brow. And the blood just continued to flow out of his body. But he endured this simply for you and for me. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become righteous, might become the righteousness of God." Jesus knew no sin, but he paid for that sin. He paid for our sin on the cross of Calvary. By his priceless sacrifice for us sheep, I believe he deserves to be titled the Good Shepherd. Secondly, Jesus the Good Shepherd is committed to his sheep. Look at verses 12 and 13 with me. It says, "But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep." Jesus compares himself here to, compares himself to a hireling. Well, you think, well, what about a hireling? Well, let's look at the hireling. The hireling has no vested interest in the sheep. He didn't buy the sheep. He don't own the sheep. He has no money, nothing invested in those sheep. It's only a job to him. He may look like a shepherd. He may act like a shepherd. He may sound like a shepherd. You may even think he's a shepherd by seeing him out in the wilderness grazing with the sheep. But he's only a hireling. But he's not willing to risk his life for the sheep because he has no vested interest in the sheep. When the wolf comes, what's he do? He takes off. In the sheep, they scatter. He won't spend time for the sheep if they're lost or hurt. He just lets them go. But the shepherd, on the other hand, Jesus, he owns the sheep. He has a vested interest in the sheep, and he's interested in the welfare of every sheep. He's interested in your welfare this morning. He's interested in my welfare this morning. And he will go out and he will find those sheep when they're lost or they're scattered. He will go out and he will find those in our families who have walked away from God. He'll go out after them. Why? Because he's the Good Shepherd. And he will pay any price to protect the sheep, even if it means laying down his life in giving his life up for the sheep. The hireling, he don't have a vested interest. Don't really matter what the sheep do. They scatter. He's not going to go after them. But Jesus, on the other hand, he's going to go after them. Why? Because he's committed to the sheep. Thirdly, look at that verse with me. Verse 14. It says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. This verse just expresses the bond that Jesus has with the sheep. It expresses the closeness that they had, that he has. He knows them, but the sheep know him. I'll never forget, several years ago, my daughter, Andrea, our oldest, came to Patty and I, and she said, you know, I would like to show some animals in 4-H. And I said, you know what? I grew up on a farm. I love the farm. I'm all for it. And I'm thinking, you know, she wants to show a rabbit, or she wants to show a rooster, or a calf. But she says, Dad, I would like to show some sheep. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't know a thing about sheep. And I don't know if there's anybody here who raises sheep. But sheep are a very difficult animal to raise. Sheep are dumb. And they will literally, this is true, they will literally thirst to death if you do not put a bucket of water in front of them. And I'm thinking, man, I don't know enough about them, but I guess if that's what you'd like to show, let's do it. I'll learn and you learn. You know, the funny thing about those sheep, we went to the farmer and we bought those sheep and we brought them home. And she would begin to groom them sheep, and she would feed them and water them every morning, and she would get them out and walk them. And those sheep would come right up to her because she was their shepherd. Now, if I walked out there and I went up to them, they would scatter because they didn't know me. And the craziest thing that I'll never forget is she would get on the back porch, and before she even got to the barn, she would make some noise, almost like a... She won't do it for you, I will guarantee you that, so don't ask her. And she would make that noise, and them crazy sheep would come running out of the barn because they knew their shepherd was coming. They knew they're either going to get watered, they're going to get fed, they're going to get groomed, or they're going to get walked. She knew them sheep, and those sheep knew her. Jesus knows his sheep, and they know him. A man who was tending a large flock of sheep was telling his Christian friend that he was familiar with each of the sheep in his flock. You see that one over there, he asked? Notice how it toes in a little. The one behind it has a squint. The next one has a patch of wool off its back. Ahead is one with a distinguishing black mark, while the one closest has a small tear in its ear. Observing all of them, the believer thought about Christ, the Good Shepherd, who knows the individual weaknesses and failings of his flock. Jesus not only knows the outward appearances of his sheep, us, but he knows the inward weaknesses, strengths in our heart. He knows about the highs in life, he knows about the lows in life. And I'm sure in a crowd this size, there's some of you who have walked in these doors this morning and you're carrying burdens and you're thinking, I'm never going to be able to get through this day. But I'm here to tell you today that the Good Shepherd, Jesus, knows all about those struggles. And he can get you through them. The good shepherd knows his sheep. But the question I have for you today is, do you know the shepherd? Do you know the shepherd? Has there been a time in your life when you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart? You have that personal relationship with Him. You've invited Him in. However you answer that question is how you're going to spend eternity. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and He lives within your heart, you're going to spend eternity with Him in heaven. But if there's never been a time in your life when you've made that personal commitment and asked Him to come into your heart, I'm sorry, but you're going to spend eternity in the Bible, in the place the Bible calls hell. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Has there been that time in your life when you've accepted Christ? For me, it was as a 10-year-old boy. We were growing up, we were in church every day. The doors were open. Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday night, whenever the doors were open, we were there. But we had a revival service one Thursday night. I'll never forget it. I learned that I was a sinner. I learned that I was born a sinner, and I learned that if I didn't repent of those sins and turn from those sins and accept Christ into my heart, I was going to spend a place in hell. That's when I accepted Christ. I went forward that night as a 10-year-old boy. Went forward and gave my heart to Christ. If you have never trusted Christ, you can do it today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, but today. And I end with this story this morning. As I mentioned, we were in business for many years, and we would have people come in and see us. And a gentleman used to come in. He was an older fella. And we got to talking one day about death. And he said, "I'm scared to death to die." He says, "I don't know what takes place." After he got done talking, I wasn't in on all of the conversation, but I overheard, and I met him in the parking lot. And I told him, I said, "I overheard what you were talking about." And I said, "You know, there's no reason you need to be afraid to die. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, absent from the body, you're going to be present with the Lord. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to spend eternity in hell." And he said, "John," he says, "I know your family's a religious family, and you believe what you believe. But," he says, "I don't believe that." And I said, "Jim, it don't matter if you believe it or not. It's not about religion, it's about relationship. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, you die, you're going to hell." And he said, "That's not for me." Probably about 2 months later, one snowy afternoon, he was out snowblowing. He had a massive heart attack, and he died. My thought when I got the news, he had the opportunity. I shared with him, I gave him the plan, but he refused. He didn't believe. And some of you here today, you may have never trusted Christ. You've put it off. You haven't believed in the Good Shepherd. It's very simple. We must admit that we're a sinner. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You've sinned. I've sinned. We were born sinners. We must believe in Jesus Christ, that he was sacrificed. He died in your place. He was God's Son. We have to believe. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall have eternal life." But we must confess our sins 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you done that? You might say, yeah, I think I'm saved. I'm 99% sure I'm saved, but my friend, it's that 1% that could send you right to hell. I'm going to give you this opportunity this morning, and I don't know how you close your services out, but I just want to share with you how you can be saved. You must admit that you're a sinner. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in what he did for you. But we must confess our sins. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed, and I know this may be different than maybe how Pastor Dave closes the service, but I just feel led. Out of a crowd this size, is there one person who would say today with a lifted hand and nobody's looking around and I'm not going to call you out, I'm not going to embarrass you, is there one person here today who would say, you know what, John? I've never accepted Christ as my Savior, but today I sure would like to do that. Would you just raise your hand so I can see it? There's no one looking around but myself. Anyone? I don't see any hands this morning. But there may be someone here today who says, you know, I don't really want to raise my hand. I'm going to ask you to do one thing. Today before you leave, I'm going to be out in the foyer. Would you just pull me aside and say, John, tell me how I can get saved? Would you do that for me? For those of you who are saved, are you sharing your faith with those around you? Many of the places, many of the people that we come in contact with, we are the only Bible they'll read. Are we sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with those people that we come in contact with? I challenge you today, if your answer is no, I'm not really doing that. I ask you why not. We're commanded to. I challenge you to do that. Tell them about the Good Shepherd. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for being the Good Shepherd. Thank you, Lord, that you are set apart from a shepherd. You are the Good Shepherd. And Lord, I thank you for the sacrifice that you made, the sins that you paid for on my behalf. And I pray that, Father, that if there's one here today who would say, you know what? I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I pray that by the time they leave, that they would make that decision. Thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak through your word this upcoming week. And we ask this in your name. Amen.